I want you to turn with me this morning for just a moment to the book of Mark. We're going to minister to people the way the Lord has been doing. The Lord spoke to my heart several weeks ago and said that he had released a wind of healing and that he would heal people if they would come in faith and they would believe. But I'm going to tell you something. Just since we started that 4 or 5 weeks ago, we have had so many families in our church. We talked about releasing a word and command from the Lord and moving away from the negative and into a place of belief. And since we did that, we've had families in our church that have come against so much adversity. And if y'all will remember, I told you that was going to happen. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to talk about that this morning. The enemy does not want to see this happen. He does not want you to come out of the place you have been, and he will do everything he can to hold you there and intimidate you. But church, we're going to come out. We're going to come out. I'm going to keep pounding on it, hammering on it. We're going to fight this battle until this thing breaks. And I'm going to tell you something. God is moving in pockets around America right now. Things are beginning to break out. And we're seeing breakthroughs. And God is wanting to do something in our area. But it's going to take a group of people saying, I am not backing down until we see the glory of God. When you get in a place, the enemy roars and tries to discourage you and intimidate you. And it's just so easy to say, well, it's just too hard. I knew this. That's what he wants you to do. We're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. And I kind of want to talk about that today, because I want you to see something I think that's very important in the Word of God. So the book of Mark, chapter 8. And we're basically talking this morning about coming out of these places that we have been in. God is ready to bring you out now, and he wants to do it. Mark chapter 8, begin reading at verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. First thing Jesus did, he led the man out of town. He got him out of town. He got him out of that place. And then he spit on his eyes and he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, well, I see men like trees walking. It's blurry. It's I see partially, which leads me to believe this man may not have been born blind. He knew what trees looked like. He evidently maybe had an accident or something occurred, a disease that caused the blindness. And he said, I can see somewhat. Now, church, I want to tell you something. This is not happening because Jesus's batteries are low. You understand that? This is a partial healing, but it's not because it's not on Jesus's part. So he said, I kind of see trees walking. It says, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house saying, do not go back into that town. And do not tell anyone in the town. I want to talk about a village of unbelief this morning. Father, I love you so much. And Lord, I feel this word so strong in my heart. God, you are wanting to call us out of places we have been in, that we have gotten into, that we should not have gotten into, places of unbelief, places of discouragement, places of fear, places of anxiety. We are living in these villages. We are abiding and cohabiting, Lord, with things in our lives that are hindering us and keeping us from receiving the fullness of everything that you have for us. And I feel, Lord, right now, in the name of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, that you are calling us out of that place. So I ask right now, in the name of Jesus, by the power of that name, Lord, that we act in obedience this morning and we come out of those places that we have been in. And we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. And I want to show you something that we're up against in this passage. And this is important. Matthew 11 verse 21 says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida." We just got through talking about Bethsaida. He called him out of Bethsaida. "Woe to you, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon," Tyre and Sidon, by the way, was the current names of cities that was the ancient city of Sodom. He said, "If the mighty works which I have done in you had been done in Sodom and in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." This is what he said to Bethsaida. And the Bible says he performed many miracles in Bethsaida, but they would not believe. And he said to Bethsaida, "If the miracles I have done in you and performed in your town had been done in Sodom, they would have fallen on their knees and repented." Wow. That's an amazing statement. He said, "But these miracles have been done in Bethsaida, and you won't believe." Now, they liked the miracles. In fact, they took this blind man to Jesus and said, "Heal him, touch him. We want to see another cool thing." They liked the miracles. But they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't bow. They wouldn't submit. They chose to stay in a place. A church, I want you to hear me this morning. There are churches full of people that are living in their stuff and living in their churches and abiding in villages of unbelief, and they've seen God's glory. They have felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit. They experience it sometimes every week in church, but they stay in that same village of unbelief and will not move out of it. Amen. Y'all help me preach this morning. Don't get quiet on me. They stay in that same place. You live in Bethsaida and you like the anointing. You like the miracles. You like all of that, but you still will not bow and give up. And this is what hinders us. That's what Jesus is trying to teach them. That's what hinders us from moving to that next level. How many times have I heard, "When are we going to see revival? When are we going to see a move of God? When are we going to experience the glory?" Never. As long as you stay in the village of unbelief, it's not going to happen. As long as you stay in that place and you just want to see it because it makes you feel good, or you just want to have a hallelujah hoedown or something. Folks, God's not in the entertainment business. He's not here to show up on Sunday morning and just make us feel good. God's trying to change your life. God's trying to bring you to a new place. We've got to be willing to come out. That man was brought to Jesus and they said, "We want you to heal him. We want you to touch him." And Jesus took him by... Jesus took him by the hand and said, "Well, then come on over here, because we're getting out of that mess back there." You see that? He had to get him out of an environment of unbelief, of negativity, and all the stuff that was swirling around him that he was hearing. Jesus said, "I want to take you away from this mess so that you can be healed." And that's important. And that's exactly the reason Jesus had to touch this man twice. Because the unbelief had grown so strong in that man and in that village and in that city that they were not easily receptive to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you this. I've seen it. We go to, and Daryl has shared it, and we've seen it. We go to foreign nations where they don't know nothing. They don't know what you know. They don't know. They've never been messed up with tradition. They've never been messed up with religion. They've never been messed up with denominationalism. They've never been messed up with theology. and somebody stands up and reads a scripture that Jesus is a healer, and they believe it. And guess what happens? Miracles flow. It's when you do street ministry and you're out there, it's so much easier in many ways because they've not been messed up with our church stuff. Come on, church. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. And it's one of the reasons, because of our theology, because of our traditions, because of stuff we've heard all our lives in church, a lot of times, we just put God in a box and we think that it has to be that way and those are the boundaries and it cannot be any other way. And you know what? We restrict the moving of God and He's not able to do anything. God is here this morning. God is wanting to take you by the hand and lead you to a new place. That's what God started a few weeks ago in our church. He is trying to take us by the hand and say, I want to bring you out of this religion and out of this churchese stuff. I want to bring you into something new, if you're willing to go there. But that's what He's trying to do, is to lead you out. But it's about trusting God. They loved the miracles, but they didn't love the miracle worker. They were not willing to bow their knee to the miracle worker. And how many times we like the anointing, man. We feed off of, we love it. But we've got to fall in love with the miracle worker. That it's about Jesus and it's about seeking the face of God. And learning to trust the move of God. God's a sovereign God. He moves in a lot of different ways. God moves differently in all of our lives. One of the things that we're going to see as we start to move into this is there's no formulas that make it this way or that way or that way. It's going to be different. The blind man that sat at the gate beautiful, the Bible says he sat at the gate beautiful of the temple. He sat there for years. He was born blind. And Peter called him out and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. It's something he had. But I want you to know something. Jesus walked by that gate probably hundreds of times going to the temple, and that man's sitting right there. It says he sat there for years. Well, Jesus went to the temple. He never healed him. That man had a season. He had an appointment with God for another time. You've got to learn to trust God in this and know that God is bringing me out to a new place and He's going to do it His way. Not our way, not the church's way, not the pastor's way. He's going to do it His way. So He led him out of the village, brought him out, and then He spat in his face. Spit on him. He spit on his eyes. Jesus was spat upon. You know why? Because it was an insult. He spat on this man's eyes. But I want you to see something. He wasn't spitting on the man. He was spitting on the blindness. There's a difference. He was spitting on the disease. He was insulting the disease. Jesus did this at other times. He spat on a man's tongue because he couldn't talk. He put the spit where the disease was. He spat on the disease. Another time he spat in the mud and made little cakes of mud and put it where? On the blindness. He applied his saliva to the blindness. This was the same God that formed man out of the dust of the earth, and he took that mud and he put it on that man's eyes and made new eyeballs in there. Because he has that kind of power. But he attacked the disease. There's another place where it says he healed Peter's mother-in-law and he rebuked or cursed the fever. He spoke directly to what? The sickness. That tells me that sickness can hear. I said sickness can hear. Because he spoke to it. And he insulted it. And he called it out, and he addressed it, and he came right to the problem. Oh, church, we've got to get to the problem. Do y'all see what I'm saying here?
Please see this. God's wanting to do something extraordinary, but you have to see it. Jesus was addressing, insulting, going directly at the disease. Because disease and sickness, the affliction, the infirmity, and that spirit that comes against us can be addressed and can be commanded and can be controlled by the authority and power of God's word. But here's the thing. Here's really today's lesson. Not only can sickness hear, but I can hear too. And because we can hear, we often hear wrongly. That's why the Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind and mine too needs to be renewed. Right? Years ago, I had somebody come and tell me, they said, somebody said something about our church. They said, we were brainwashing people up here. And I said, well, that's exactly right. Because our brains need to be washed. Our brains need to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Our brains, our minds are messed up. But we sit here and we won't admit it. We won't come clean about it. And we hear the negativity, we hear those things, and we're not, it's not having an effect because we're not allowing God to transform, to change our thinking. What does it mean to have your mind renewed and transformed? It means change your thinking. God is trying to change the way we think. Open your mind to the possibility that God is a miraculous God. Open your mind to the possibility that nothing is impossible with God. Open your mind that God is a miracle worker and that He's greater than cancer. He's greater than any disease. He's greater than depression. He's greater than infirmity. He's greater than sickness. But you got to open your mind to it. If your mind stays closed and you refuse to see it, the Bible says they didn't enter the land because of why? Unbelief. God loves you. He wants to do so much for you, but He can't do any more than you let Him do. He's not going to make you. And if you sit there in that village of unbelief and you choose to live there and stay there, then God's trying to lead you out. God is trying to lead you to a new place. I'm kind of teaching this morning, but more than I am preaching, but 2 Corinthians, look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Here's where we are. Well, I'll start at verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, that is hidden, cannot be seen, these truths, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, listen to this, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. I'm 60 years old. I've never seen a time in my 60 years, or it's my time of understanding, when the minds of men have been so blinded as they are today. The God of this age is blinding the minds of, they can't even see straight. They don't even talk logically. The things the world says today don't even make sense because they've been blinded by the God of this age and they do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, before we start pointing a lot of fingers, yeah, that world, they're blind. You don't think that blindness don't creep into the house of God? You don't think the God of this age tries to blind the minds of God's people to truth so that the light of that gospel and truth gets in? We have become blinded and we have accepted things that are not of God and they are hindering us from receiving the fullness of God's glory. And God's trying to call you out of that. God's trying to call you into a new place. Ephesians 5:8 says, you were once in darkness, but now you're in light. We are not the children of the night. We are the children of the day.
We're not the children of darkness, we're the children of light. Folks, we're supposed to have truth and revelation. God is a God of light. God wants us to understand that truth and see it. Turn to Acts chapter 18. Look at this. I want to show you what this is showing you. One of God's people, a man by the name of Apollos. Nobody in this room, me included, knows everything, right? We don't know everything. We're always learning. I hope you're learning. If you've closed your mind and you've quit learning, you're in trouble. Your heart, your mind have to be open to the good things of God. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. You see that? Came to Ephesus. This man was eloquent, a great speaker, great knowledge, mighty in the scripture. He knew. This man had been instructed in the ways of the Lord. He had been taught, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately based on what he knew, the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. What he knew, he taught accurately, but he didn't know everything. He had limited knowledge. He knew a lot, but he didn't know everything. So verse 26, look at this. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, I love this, they took him aside. They brought him out of where he was. Come here, come with me. And they explained to him the way of God more accurately. Even Apollos, an eloquent man, mighty in scripture, could go deeper. Even Apollos, look in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 5. It happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" These are Christians. They're believers. And they said to him, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We don't even know what you're talking about. You think it's possible, church, that there are things we don't know about? You think it's possible there are things we haven't heard about? Sure it is. And God's wanting to reveal those things to you. And he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" And we were baptized into John's baptism. John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The glory of God came in a way they had never experienced. What did God do to Apollos? What did God do to these people? He brought them into a new place. He brought them into a revelation of truth and knowledge. He brought them out of where they were. And it doesn't mean necessarily the place they were in was horrible, but they weren't in as good a place as they could be. A better place. God's wanting to take us to a better place. God's wanting to move you out of that place you were in and get you out of that atmosphere. So you've got to start changing what you're listening to, what you're thinking about, what you're dwelling on. That's the village. It's in your mind. It's in your thought. Jesus came in to heal. Jairus came to Jesus and said, "My daughter is dying. Can you heal her?" And Jesus said, "Take me to her." And they're walking into the house. And someone comes out and says, "Don't bother him anymore, Jairus. Your daughter just passed away. The doctors have pronounced her dead. We're getting the death certificate. It's over. No need to bother Jesus anymore." And the Bible says Jesus went in anyway. And when he got in, they were mourning and weeping. And he says, "She's only sleeping. I can bring her back." And listen to what the Bible says. They begin to mock him and scorn him. Unbelief. "No, God don't raise the dead. God don't do this. God don't do that. That's not going to happen. God don't do miracles." You just hear them.
We hear it today. We hear it everywhere. You hear it all the time. You hear it in your mind. You hear it in your heart. You hear the voice of scorn. You hear the voice of mockery. You're not going to be successful. You're not going to overcome. Your kids are not going to be better. This is not going to work out. And what did Jesus do? The Bible says he sent them out of the room. Get out of here. What was he doing? He was dismissing the unbelief. He was changing the atmosphere. Getting out of that place you have been in. Oh, this is so important. Just get them out of the room. I'm going to close with this. The Bible says, whose report will you believe? Folks, what are you going to believe? You going to believe all that junk out there? Or are you going to believe God? Whose report will you believe? James 5:16 says, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Healing comes when we move out of where... He didn't say just be healed. He said, confess your faults to one another, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick and heal the sick. But there was a process of coming out of where you are, coming out of unforgiveness, coming out of hate, coming out of bitterness, coming out of unbelief. You've got to come out. God will heal, but he can't heal you where you are. Not in that atmosphere. So repent, confess, come out, get away from it, walk away from it, to come into a new place. Abraham was in Ur of Chaldees, a pagan, heathenistic place. God looked down and saw Abraham and saw greatness in the loins of that man and said, I can do great things with him. But what? First, you have to get out of Ur. He called him out. Lot cast his eyes toward the well-watered plains of Sodom. And the Bible says he moved his family to Sodom. The Bible says he sat in the gates of the city. And in Bible language, that means he was a man of authority. In the town, in the place. He lived there. He made money. He was prosperous. He was a man of authority. He may have been the mayor of Sodom for all we know. And the angels came and told him to get out. And the Bible says, it says this, Lot hesitated. And what does it say? It says the angels took him by the hand and pulled him out. Got him out of that place. And over and over and over we see, he led Moses out. Gideon grew up with a heathenistic father. He grew up with abuse. He grew up in a horrible home. But God led him out. It led him to a place of belief to do great things. Over and over and over, we can go through the Bible of men that God led out. And that's what God's wanting to do for you today. I want us to stand together.